T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
What do we do as conservatives? I know we all get paid to give our opinion, so it's easy for us to get out and give our opinion. But a lot of people are scared. They are scared of losing their jobs. What's your answer to them? What do you say to people out there who want to speak their mind, who truly believe these things, but are just afraid of the backlash?
Well, I think Ben is spot on when he says we need to get to the bottom of why everything has to be the same way. But, you know, you've seen conservatives fight back. Ben Shapiro launched a movie company at the Daily Wire, and they hired Gina Carano to do a movie with them. So, you know, finding other alternative ways to be creative, to be artistic, and to show people that the best way to live in America is to be open and to have new avenues of thought and art.
Katie Pavlich there talking, answering questions from Rachel Campus Duffy about where do conservatives go from here. There's a lot of soul searching going on in the political landscape across the entire spectrum, and Republicans certainly are part of that. We've got CPAC coming up here this weekend. I don't know if CPAC is something that you inundate yourself with or that it could pass and you don't even realize it happens, but President Trump will be speaking on Sunday, and I assume that that's going to draw a lot of attention to his presence there and the event as a whole. Let's welcome on to our show Paris Denard. He is the RNC Senior Communications Advisor for Black Media Affairs. Paris, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to ask you kind of the same question that Rachel Campus Duffy asked there. What can conservatives do, you know, going into CPAC, where there's going to be a lot of people assembled, a lot of different minds coming together with a common goal? Where do conservatives need to place their energy right now in order to have an effective outcome in 2022?
Unity, plain and simple. We need to be unified. We need to be focused on not attacking each other, but and going after each other and criticizing each other, and be focused on the Democrats and this terrible administration and the things that the Biden team is doing and the radical liberals are doing in the House and the Senate. And these policies, these bills, this stimulus package, which has nothing to do with COVID-19 in terms of a lot of the spending that they're doing. We need to be unified and focused on winning in 2022 for the House and the Senate. And I think that CPAC is just one element of how we do that. It is good to mobilize. It is good to come together. But we also have to do more than that. We have to go out and register voters. We have to go out and safely talk to our neighbors and knock on doors. We have to phone bank. We have to support local candidates because the presidential election is over. And there are people that are lining up to run in the House and the Senate that need our support. And so we've got to mobilize, do voter registration, educate our neighbors, our family members, and be proud to be Republicans, be proud of our conservative principles. That a lot of them that you'll hear at CPAC, a lot of them you'll hear from the Republicans that are in Congress right now. And a lot of them you will hear from coming out of the RNC and the leadership of Ronna McDaniel and our co-chair, Tommy Hicks, who will be doing a panel at CPAC.
You know, I heard a former chairman Michael Steele saying, you know, if the Trump supporters want to leave the Republican Party, here's the door. And my response to that is, I did not know that he was the doorkeeper for the Republican Party. My recollection is he is the former spokesperson, and that he also endorsed Joe Biden for president. So I don't really understand. I get it. I guess I get it. But there's a lot of people with something to gain from saying it's either support Trump or support, you know, the establishment Republican Party. Is there room in this party for people who loved Donald Trump and think he absolutely needs to run in 2024, and people who may have voted for him or maybe didn't vote for him, but understand the value of conservative policies and the direction it takes our country?
When it comes to the Republican National Committee, our leader is Ronna McDaniel. She's our chairwoman. She was appointed by the former president and then reelected on her own terms just last year. And so she is someone who, this year she was reelected, is someone who is leading our party into the right direction. And that direction is a unified party, an open tent party, a big tent party, a more diverse party because of the principles, the values, the legislation, and the ideas that President Trump led with for 4 years, putting America first. And so there has always been room for those who support President Trump. There's always been room for those establishment types. There's always been room for those grassroots leaders, Tea Party activists that we used to have, and all those MAGA moms and everyone else. There's room for you in this party, because ultimately the party is about a set of ideas and ideals and values that make us conservative, make up the Republican Party. Policies that support lower taxes and putting Americans first, and deregulation and conservative judges, the things that former President Donald J. Trump did as the leader, that all conservatives should be able to get behind. Because if his name had been anything else but Donald Trump, those who didn't support him would have supported him. And so there's going to be room. There's always been room. And that's why you saw Democrats come over, independents come over to the Republican Party, because they are looking at this radical Democrat establishment they have right now and say, I don't even recognize the Democrats. I don't recognize Joe Biden. I don't recognize Speaker Pelosi. What I see and what I hear are socialism and things that are divisive and vindictive, and things that are not doing anything to help the American people keep the economy open, thriving, help small businesses, and open up our schools. I hear they see hypocrisy, they see demonization, they see personal attacks, they see condemnation, they don't see ideas, they don't hear a way forward and a way up. And that's the difference between the two.
Paris Denard is RNC Senior Communications Advisor for Black Media Affairs. You know, the policy positions you were just talking about, President Trump won 12%, of black voters in the 2020 election. That's higher than it's been in about 20 years, or maybe even a little bit more. Right. So my question for you is, if these policies really do kind of line up with much more than 12% of black Americans, how does the RNC go about changing the cultural stigma for black Americans to vote Republican openly?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is our chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, announced yesterday a $2 million investment to extend the Black Voices community centers that were in 15 cities across the country this last presidential cycle. They're going to be opening up later this year, because there's going to be a continued presence in the Black community, because we saw proof of concept. This Black History Month that we're in right now, the RNC spent six figures on half-page, full-color ads in over 20 Black-owned newspapers across the country, highlighting local Black Republican leaders, historic leaders, and present-day leaders, so that leaders can see and know that we're here, we're present, and there are people that look like them who represent the Republican Party and have for many years. And so we are proud about the work that we're doing, and it's going to be that continued engagement effort, because they think that the common train of thought would be stop. Presidential election's over, go away, pack up, be done. That's not where we're – this is a long game. This is a long-term focus and investment. And we saw when you're intentional and you put the investment behind it and you're serious about it, you can get results. President Trump more than doubled his support with black women and got upwards of 26% when it comes to black male support. And as you were right, got the most non-white votes for a Republican president since 1960. RNC was serious about that investment last cycle, and we're serious about the investment this year. And it's going to show that we're present, we're going to be there, we're going to be consistent, and we're going to show up. And to your last point, the chairman wrote an op-ed about Black History Month, and she said in the op-ed, use this as a teachable moment. For all you woke moms and all you conservative moms out there as well, use this as a teachable moment to highlight that Black History Month is not just about Black liberals. There are Black conservatives going back decades that have played a role in uplifting the community and representing the Republican Party with excellence. And not just historically, we have them here today. And she named them. And so it's a good piece that she did. And that's how we do it. That's how we grow the party and continue to grow the party.
Paris, I'm wondering if you were surprised with the boldness with which the Biden administration and the Democrats who are now in charge of the House and the Senate right out the gate. I mean, it's an onslaught of far left progressivism that they are putting out in front of the American people. You know, I think about in San Francisco, they were working to rename, you know, schools that had Abraham Lincoln's name, like, God forbid, Abraham Lincoln, you know, the terrible person that he was. In Chicago, they're trying to take down statues like this. Specifically in San Francisco, there was such a backlash, like, maybe the school board could focus on actually putting kids in school before we prioritize the social justice crusade that so many people across the country have taken this opportunity to be on. Are you surprised at how far left and how fast this Democratic Party that has control now has gone?
No. They said they were going to do it. They said it. Joe Biden said he was going to raise taxes. He said he was going to kill Keystone. He said he was going to end fracking. AOC had an agenda, the Green New Deal, and all the things that they said they were going to do. They said they were going to come after President Trump in every single way and try to impeach him as many times as they could before he was even elected. Everything they said they were going to do, they have done. So I'm not surprised by it. I'm surprised that a lot of people didn't take them as seriously as we should have. And I'm not surprised at how big tech is lined up behind them and how we see the attacks on freedom, the attacks on free speech, the attacks on the whole cancel culture theme that we see happening. I'm not surprised by it. What we have to do is take these radical Democrats at their word. They're not messing around. You know how I know they're not messing around? Because they changed our election system. They went state by state and try to do it, and not try, they did. They controlled the process, and they did these things under the guise of trying to do something because of COVID-19. And now, when you look at H.R. 1 that Speaker Pelosi is trying to implement, they're trying to codify these election law changes that they did at the local level and make them permanent because they want to change the process to make it almost impossible for a Republican president to win again and Republicans to win at a federal level and all the way down ballot. They are serious, and we have to be serious as well.
Paris, is Donald Trump going to be a contributing factor to that goal of unity for the Republican Party on Sunday?
Well, I don't know what the president is going to talk about, but I tell you, he has 74 million plus people that voted for him. And I think that if those 74 million people think that voting for a Democrat or voting for anybody else outside of the Republican Party is going to have those same ideals that we fought for, I think they're wrong. And so we need them. And we need President Trump to be talking about his America First agenda and the things that he did and the things that we can that still are yet to be done to improve and to empower. And so I think he is going to be an element of unity because we need to bring all of those people into the fold and say, united, we can win. Divided, we fail. We must be united.
Paris Dinard, thank you so much for the time today. We look forward to what CPAC has to offer this weekend and hearing the messages from the diverse group of people that have been assembled there. Thanks for coming on the show today. Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. Paris Denard there is the RNC Senior Communications Advisor for Black Media Affairs. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a little room to breathe here, so stick around. More Annie Fry Show in just a minute. Don't forget you can subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Just type in Annie Fry on YouTube. You'll see us there and subscribe. You can go to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page as well. We are live in both places, whatever you fancy, and you can comment in the live chat. Join the conversation there as well. Stick around. More information on Tiger Woods when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Continuing to monitor the story right now, Tiger Woods has been in quite a severe car accident. He is in surgery right now on his leg or legs. They said multiple surgeries for his legs. And we are waiting more news about his well-being. So a single car accident in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. And, you know, the car looks pretty banged up, and our prayers go out with him. He's a father. He's a husband. It's just a very scary thing to watch unfold. And hopefully everything is going to be quickly better for him. That dude has overcome quite a lot of just hardships already physically in his life, and been able to come back from it in a way that I don't think that a lot of us would expect somebody who at his caliber to be able to come back and compete at that. So I have my highest hopes for him, and he has my prayers. I want to talk a little bit about this Gina Carano interview. Katie, are these clips that I have here, 4 and 5, are these from the Ben Shapiro?
They are.
They are? Mm-hmm. Okay, I was wondering if it was this or something else. He sat down, Ben Shapiro sat down with Gina Carano for at least a 30-minute interview. I think that Ben Shapiro's setup is that, like, if you're a member of the Daily Wire, which I am, you can put in a password or something and see more. I didn't take the time to look at that. But listening to Gina Carano sit down and have this conversation with Ben Shapiro and speak for herself, which we don't get to see a whole lot of, to observe her reaction to the moment and hear from her in her experience. If you're not familiar with who Gina Carano is, she is one of the female lead characters in The Mandalorian who tweeted out some things or posted some things on Facebook. She got canceled. They kicked her off the show. And, you know, in some cases, and she's telling the story, talking to Ben Shapiro, she's talking about how there were even instances where she was being, like, erased from promotional posters and replaced with other characters and everything, and just watching all of this spiral in front of her. Really an interesting look to listen to her have her own words. And it's important to understand that she's also an MMA fighter. I guess she's a former. I don't think she does that anymore. I mean, you've got to be in fighting shape if you're going to be doing that, of course. But she comes from... She says at one time, she says, "I do have hot blood, but I don't have hate for anybody." And when she said that, that really resonated with me, because I feel very similar to that. I am not here to judge anybody for their life choices or their decisions. I am not looking to put anybody in their place. You know, if you're going to come at me, or especially if you're going to come at somebody I love, chances are I'm going to have a really hard time keeping my mouth shut, because the defense mechanism, I just absolutely detest bullying. I really, really hate bullying. Listen to part of this interview that Gina Carano had with Ben Shapiro. Really interesting stuff here.
The thought of this happening to anybody else, especially like somebody who could not handle this the way I can. No. They don't get to do that. They don't get to make people feel like that. And if I buckle them, then little girls and little boys who are not getting any they're not getting a good fair shake at growing up right now. If I buckle, it's going to make it okay for these companies who have a history of lying to beeline and to do this to other people. And they've done it to other people. And I'm not going down without a fight.
So when you hear Gina Carano talking like that, and you know who she is as a person, as an actress, and she's talking about how, she feels like she needs to stand up in this space because other people need to see strength in this space. When you feel like you're being bullied, if you don't stand up, then it makes the next person who sees this bullying take place, it makes it harder for them to stand up. And we live in a culture right now where people try to destroy one another.
I read this somewhere. It's like, don't try to ruin my life with lies when your life can be ruined with the truth. And you got billion-dollar companies raining down on me from every different place. And do I really even need to say anything? Like, you're showing it. You're showing what you do to people. You're showing you don't give them a voice. You're showing you're not going to listen. You're not going to see a person past, you know, what you've read in a very skewed article. You're showing what bullies you are against one voice here. One. I'm that petrifying to these billion-dollar companies? Well, good. I hope I am. And I hope everybody else becomes that. I mean, this is what they're afraid of.
So Gina Carano has partnered with Ben Shapiro and his operation at the Daily Wire to star in a feature film that he's producing. And it's not the first film that they produced. Katie, did you say you watched one of their films, or was that something else that you watched?
I didn't. Nope. I haven't watched one of their films. Mm-mm.
You watched something one night and you're like, oh my gosh, what was it that you were watching? How'd you do with?
It was that Thomas Sowell film?
No, it wasn't Thomas Sowell, right? But it was a different educator. I'll think of it here in a minute. But when you hear about a conservative person, she's not a conservative actress. She's a conservative and an actress. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise, like, everybody else is obviously a liberal actor. You know, we are all conservative or liberal or somewhere on the spectrum in between, or maybe further to the outside. And we are also mothers and fathers and doctors and nurses and teachers and cashiers and bankers. We are all of these things. There's no rhyme or reason to a specific profession and how you should be politically, unless the industry successfully makes it so that one side can speak and one side can't. Because people are people. People have circumstances. Everybody who is in Hollywood didn't come from a blue coastal county or town or state. They didn't all come from the same places. There are a lot of them that come from the Midwest. And there are a lot of them who might come from northern areas in our country or the southern areas in our country. And they bring to the table something different. And we live in a culture where the arts are supposed to embrace the different, right? Well, but not if you're conservative. Not if you don't think the way that that we have all signed off in agreement is the right way to think, at least publicly. So Gina Carano stands up. I mean, when she goes through in this interview with Ben Shapiro and she explains why she posted things, you can hear, I mean, I think you can hear it in her voice in these clips as well. She's got a little bit of a shaky voice.
Mm-hmm.
She is a former MMA fighter and she is a BA on The Mandalorian, and she has this trepidation in her voice because of what people are asserting that she is. That she's racist, that she's a homophobe, that she is a transphobe, that she is, you know, all of these terrible things. And these people don't know her. She talks about how she still adores Pedro. Is it Pedro Pascal? Is that mm-hmm. his name? Who is the actor who plays the Mandalorian? Because he has posted Holocaust-related things to make a political point on the other side of the aisle. And people say to her a lot, and Ben Shapiro said to her, like, your co-star, The Mandalorian, posted this on this date in 2019 or 18 or whatever it was, and nobody batted an eye when he did that. And her response is that they have different thought processes. They agreed that they understand that they're different people, but they agree that they're human first. Why is it that somebody who knows her as well as her co-star would know her? Somebody who has worked with her, who has spent hours and hours of time perfecting something that everybody else enjoys as art. Why is it that Pedro Pascal can be okay with the person that Gina Carano is, but some troll on Twitter who wants to start a trending hashtag cannot be okay with Gina Carano, and that matters? Why is that? And we have to ask ourselves, you know, there's a power struggle there. Somebody has the power and somebody's pulling it away. Are we giving away our power? Is it too late to get it back? I saw a comment from Mike Rowe, who somebody had posted this on Facebook, and Mike Rowe has in the past partnered with Prager University. Prager puts out a lot of conservative videos. They're very well done. I enjoy watching them, and they pull in a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life on specific issues. There's no like contract that you have to sign if you're going to do a video with Prager University that you have to agree with every single bullet point on the conservative Republican platform before you will shake hands with Prager University and move forward. That doesn't happen. Somebody wants to talk about free speech. You have a comedian who comes on who wants to talk about free speech. They're going to talk about that lane. They're probably not going to dabble in abortion issues. They're going to just stay in their lane. They make their video. They go on. They make a really good point in a really constructive way, and they move on. Somebody posted, like, now that I know that Mike Rowe has partnered with Prager University, I can no longer support him or respect him. And Mike Rowe comments on this thing and says, essentially, I'll sum up, what in the world makes you think I care if you respect me in the first place?
Yes.
I don't even know who you are
or
why you're here. And if you don't respect me, why are you spending your time commenting on this to tell me? Like, you have been so misled that I care at all about how you feel about me. How did that happen? And I just thought, yeah, that's where it is.
Fantastic.
That's the power struggle. That we lose so much, we invest so much care and energy in what all these no-name people think that become a name. They don't have, they don't go by a first and last name. They name themselves by a hashtag, and they get the attention of these big corporations. I understand how the process works, but one way or another, we have to start taking our voice back, and you cannot take your voice back when you're quiet. And if you speak up on an issue, you will run a risk. I think the reason why this seems so hard is because the conversations are always so combative. I'm here to tell you, they don't have to be. If they want to fight with you, you can still have a voice on your own terms. You do not have to succumb to the terms that are laid out by the person who's shouting at you for the piece of steaming crap that they think that you are. You don't have to concede that ground because they're wrong. They are the ones who are grossly misunderstood. They are the ones, like, do they sleep better at night that Gina Carano is not going to be on Disney Plus? Do they put a notch in their belt when they get Gina Carano off of The Mandalorian? Do they feel really good about themselves? Because if they do, I guarantee you by the time they wake up in the morning, they're angry again and they're on the hunt again, and they, you might be in their sights. Maybe you work in the cubicle next to him. Maybe you go to, you know, some community, if you go to community events. Okay, let's pretend we're in Missouri. Maybe you're going to right. community events in Missouri and participate there with one another. And there's a person who just detests you because they saw you indicate that you have, you know, support for Donald Trump at some time. Do not give them the satisfaction of fighting with them, ever. Do not fight with them. Remind them that, why are you so angry? Why? Where did this come? Like, I don't understand why you have such anger towards me, because I have no anger towards you. You just think differently than I do.
And I'm a real person.
And that's the most important part.
I'm a human being.
The human being part about it. The Mandalorian said so.
Man. She in particular,
it is
Gina
the
Carano.
Way. It is.
Yeah, these people who speak out, I mean, especially her, she was literally at the top. There is not a bigger show right now than The Mandalorian. Hmm. You don't get higher than that. And she was willing to basically sacrifice it so that she wouldn't have to be silenced. That means a lot, and she deserves respect for that.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to see if there's any more news about Tiger Woods' report, and we'll take your phone calls on this before we wrap it up. What do you think about the Gina Carano saga as it continues on, and she's going to star in a movie that Ben Shapiro is putting together? Do you like the separation of media? I hate it, but I also don't know if there is another way. We shall see. Stick around, 314-241-9797 if you want to give us a call. Tell us what you think. We'll be right back. I think it's actually colder in my studio right now than it is outside.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I feel that.
That's backwards. So when he put in this studio here in my home, in my basement, we turned a storage room that we had into a studio. Katie and Ryan will both see it, and I mean it's a very effective studio, but if you watch the YouTube Live, the Annie Fry channel YouTube Live that we're on right now. You can also see it at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. It looks like a very finished studio. Well, that's what it looks like. It is the ultimate social media filter. I'm looking at drywall and like unfinished ceilings. We insulated it so much with all of this fiberglass insulation to make sure that it was like soundproof. But because it was a storage room, I don't think there's any vents in here.
So
if the heat runs, I don't get it. And so my husband bought me this space heater. It's a ceramic space heater. I must have misunderstood. I just assume ceramic space heater. Ceramic to me seems like radiating heat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said it just needed to be quiet. I needed to have it so that I can have it on in the room while I'm on air. And it sounds like a rocket taking off when I put it on. It's not just not quiet. It almost sounds like a sleep machine that you would put on in your room, and it's just a. And so I can't have. And I just put my hands up to my mouth, and my hands are like little ice cubes.
Ugh.
Is it cold in the studio where you are, Katie?
Oh my gosh, freezing. I have a blanket on right now, and it's so depressing because I can see out the windows, two big, beautiful windows in the studio.
Looking warm.
Gorgeous, sunny day, not a cloud in the sky, looking warm. People, for the first time since October, people are out on the park, if you both remember that little park next to us.
I remember real life park. Yeah.
Well, park. For lack of a better term.
Yeah, what are they doing in the park? They're just tell us.
stumbling around aimlessly, talking to the trees.
This is a great day. Everyone's celebrating.
Everybody's stumbling around, having a great time.
Though. I'm
a little
ready,
past medium drunk.
I'm ready to get off of work and play in my muddy backyard with my dog. That's
you sent
what
me
I'm
a picture
for.
Of your jacket yesterday, and it had mud all over it from your dog. This is a frame of mind I'm in regularly. I thought it was vomit.
But that would be so, I would never do that to you, Annie. Never, ever. I know that would be so horrible.
So, Ryan, are you in the basement?
Yeah, I am.
Is it significantly colder down there than it is in the rest of your house? Or
it's all I deal with the same thing as you do, too, because I have a little space heater in here. But when we're on, I have to turn it off.
Same.
Because it just...
Yeah.
The whole time.
Mine doesn't just go straight off either. It has this 30-second countdown. So if I have it on, I'm like, Katie, how long until we're back? How long until we're back? Because I don't want to turn it off before I have to.
Right. Yeah. Hey, message loud and clear. Katie and I have to get you a new space heater. We get it.
Oh,
we'll
no.
Do it.
I have another one down here, but I just don't like the smell. You ever have a space heater that kind of puts off a scent?
Mm-hmm. In our old building, we had space heaters. That Trisha Siegman and I would plug in, and it was like a moth. It smelled like a mothball or something. It was just a horrible, hot, mothy smell.
I would welcome that smell compared. I don't know what it is, and I'm not a good indicator of scent right now anyway because I'm just automatically triggered by anything. I was just thinking on my way up to the stairs, I'm now at the point in pregnancy where I may use all fours to go up and down, not down the stairs, but up the stairs.
Like watching The Ring.
Yeah, go down.
Uh-oh. Here
face first.
It's so scary.
Do you ever do that? Are you ever like walking up the stairs? I mean, if you've been, Katie, you don't, I was just saying if you've been working out, but Katie, have you ever worked out?
No. Oh, no. I mean, I used to.
If you went into a gym and they said you need to do a 45-minute workout in here, what would you do?
Is there a snack bar at the gym? Because that's the workout I'm doing. I'm going to the
snack
bar.
You know, some
gyms
and they have pizza on Wednesday.
And I'm chomping. Yeah, if someone asked me to go to the gym with them, which they have, and I'm like, no, I'm politely declining.
I don't do that.
If I had to work any of the equipment, and maybe that's part of the whole thing too.
Intimidated?
I'm one of those people that walk into a gym and already I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I'll walk over to the equipment and everybody in the gym knows what they're doing. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. What is this, a leg machine or an arm machine? How do I work this thing?
Well, if you want to learn how to walk down the stairs on all fours, it could be both.
I used to walk, not down the stairs, up the stairs, because remember whenever you were younger and for some reason, like, you were the last person in the basement and it was like you had to shut off
scary
all the lights
place.
And everything? scary place, and you got in your mind about how there is something behind you, and so you're feverishly like running up the stairs to try to not be downstairs anymore.
Did you go faster on all fours? Because I seem to be going slower.
I did, and I would also just trip and just be like...
Jennifer on Facebook. Jennifer says on Facebook, I remember doing that when I was pregnant.
For real?
Well, thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that.
Oh my gosh.
Just up the stairs, though, just to clarify. Otherwise, someone's going to call somebody on me saying, I don't think anybody's handling this. I don't think going down the stairs on all fours while you're pregnant is the safest way to go about doing things.
No, nope.
Do you go down on your back?
No, I just go down slowly and carefully. Do you go to the gym ever, Ryan? Have you ever been a gym rat of any kind?
Yeah, I was for a while. I would swim, though. And man, that's a different culture all of its own, because there's people who go just to use the pool and there's people who go just to use the machines, and the pool people don't talk to the machine people.
I was going to say, I don't think that being a gym rat constitutes being in the pool. I think that's different.
That's right. Yeah. And you got to learn the whole culture. It's just like Kay was talking about. It's intimidating, but once you kind of...
What kind of culture surrounds being a pool rat?
The lanes. Oh.
I can tell you already.
Those designated lanes.
It's the lanes, because sometimes you have to share lanes, and that's weird.
Ugh.
But then also, man, the dressing room, or whatever you call it, the locker room, the dressing room.
Where kind of depends on what you're doing there.
You get changed. You know, you're going all the way, and so you get there's some like you're going all the way down to naked.
Okay, let's go back to you trying to figure out if it's an arm or a leg machine. I like that conversation. I tried to indulge Ryan in, and I should have known I was wrong. I admit my mistakes. I'm gonna go try to walk down the stairs upside down now.
Yeah, don't go in the locker room when I go in there, because apparently it's real weird for me and everybody else is fine.
I don't know about that. Read the room. Read the dressing room.
But man, some of those guys are bold. I don't get it.
Yep.
I can't do it, man. I hope when I get to be that age. You know, I can feel the same way as you, but I'm not there.
Four more minutes.
Annie, have you ever been someone that went to the gym a lot?
Yeah. I used to go to the gym. No, I don't go anywhere. I'm going to see if I can go pick up my kids today from school and then come back home. Tuesdays and Thursdays are after school activity days for us. So in many cases, we have baseball, and so we do a little more running then. But most of what I have to do is take care of the girl or girls. Here we've got, it's kind of nice to be introducing back into our lifestyle some of these things. Baseball has been going on for a few, probably a month at least now. And so we do that twice a week. And then we've got violin and piano and some other things that we're working back in. It is kind of nice to get back to that. But I do remember, you know, Katie, I would show you, and Ryan, your calendar probably looked like this too. My kids are a little bit older, but I would show you my calendar. Like, here's what I have to do this month. And I would have six things to do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And then I remember looking at the calendar in like April or May, and it was empty. And I was not mad about it. I very much so miss going to the baseball field with my son and his team and watching them compete. And my daughter was playing volleyball at the Y and stuff. You know, just she was seven at the time. So it's just fun. Team type stuff. So I miss being able to do all that. But going to the gym is something that I like to do. And as soon as I get myself into that mentality, I'm very dedicated to it. But you break that cycle one time and then it's hard to restart again.
Yeah.
I was running a lot during COVID, like during springtime. I did Couch to 5K. It's a cool app because I'm not a runner. I'm a terrible runner. I was a good athlete. I'm very quick. I am not fast, and I do not have endurance.
You're a good sprinter?
No. if you were chasing me, I could probably run away for a while. But then I just would give up will and hope and quit.
And you were doing boxing, too. I totally forgot that you were...
Yeah.
That's right.
Boxing is a fantastic thing to do when you're working out. For the sole purpose of if you get distracted, you get punched in the face. So you have to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like running, any type of exercise that involves just the repetition of doing something over and over and over again for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, I get too bored for that. I have a notepad in my shower that I can take notes on if I have ideas or thoughts or whatever. Because when I go to the shower, it's like maybe the 5 or 10 minutes that I have half the time to myself, but my kids will be like, oh, mom's in the shower. Let's just go like sit. Like my 4-year-old will just sit outside the shower and sing songs that she's making up or whatever. It's just a weird existence to think about the time where you have the ability to pack into your day. Like, what are the things I would like to do today? I have no idea what that's like anymore. It's okay, though.
Will it ever go back for you?
Oh, when I'm retired, I'm sure. But then you just want your kids to come back home. So
grass is always greener.
What are you talking about coming back? Maybe I just assume...
I mean, will your schedule ever go back to being that full, or will you deliberately make sure that it doesn't?
I'm going to have 4 kids, so I'm pretty sure that there's going to come a time, God willing, that it's going to be jam-packed again, and I'm up for the task. But until then, it needs to be 70 degrees before that happens, that's for sure. Which is like today. Crazy.
Yes!
I'm going to go stand outside just in my driveway and look at the blue sky. What about you? Stick around, DGS coming up next. Don't go away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.